We are also doing that. The memo is on the table of the minister now. It has passed through me to say 1% from the shareholder must want to present the shareholder that side, because currently the board cannot sit, they can't take decisions because of the quorum. So we hope that the minister will attend to that. I think I needed to also indicate that, because this in itself make it impossible for the board to finalize certain things, the decision around the CEO and all other things that they have to do, including attending to the Semtech issue, because you are aware, and it's public knowledge, that Semtech has been threatening to shut down community radio stations. And that is why I even said there's a meeting tomorrow. NDDA is on top of the situation, and we are also reigning over it, so that we are able to intervene and make sure that that shutdown is not done. Of course, it has the CFO position also is being advertised, and probably there will be shortlistings and all other things that will be done. The audit outcome of LGDA, you have it, Chair, and the last year one, it was unqualified. We expect them not to regress, because there must be a plan that shows how we deal with all the other things that the AG has raised, so that going forward, we don't have those things recurring. So they are on top of the situation in as far as some of those things are concerned. So we expect them to also, as they present, deal with outstanding matters that the portfolio committee has raised, and update the committee as they will be presenting their APP. I'm handing over to the acting chair. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this invitation to come and present here. I also thank the Deputy Minister for opening remarks, which put a certain context up front, so we know what we are dealing with. With me, I've got two board members, Martina De La Toya and Dr. Nombero Mbamba, and I have the management team of MDA, Kulula CEC, Cheryl Landbridge, and Sungano Mutsevi, who deals with finance. The presentation will go as the format that was requested, where we deal with the issues that were raised by the portfolio committee previously first, and then we deal with the AG issues. Thereafter, I would leave the presentation to Cheryl to deal with the rest of the presentation. If we go to our presentation on page 3, there are a number of external issues raised by the portfolio committee before, and I'm just going to give an update on where we are and what we've done in this regard. The first issue was the MDA Act review. We have initiated this process, starting with in January in our strat session, where we got legal representation just to deal with the process, what process is required when one reviews an act, because it's a legal process. So we have begun with that. There was an issue raised with lobbying of media diversity and public engagement. We have, through our marketing, really tried to up the ante in responding to current media diversity issues. So we intensify our media engagement, and plan for quarter 1 2018-19 is a community media indaba where we can engage with stakeholders collectively, although we do engage with stakeholders over individually, or do I say per sector. There were issues raised in sustainability, the sustainability strategy, and there were also issues raised with the regulation and fair competition, which links to a fund that was given to the MDDA by the empowerment fund, which was given by the Competition Commission. We are managing that fund, and through constant interaction with the Competition Commission, we are working out ways in which we work out a strategy on how to distribute the funds that we have got from the Competition Commission. We have a signed MOU with CEDA. This has to do with governance and business enterprise development. You'd know that a lot of our projects lack in this regard. We need to strengthen our relationship with CEDA in order to assist the various beneficiaries of our funds in their governance and their business enterprise. And this is for sustainability of the various projects that we fund. The Centec issue has been mentioned. We obviously are in discussions with the DOC in trying to see where we can assist. Maybe I should just position that very briefly, that throughout its funding disbursement, the MDDA has always, whenever it has been required, paid out the Centec fees to the recipients of our grant funding, and then they manage their relationship with Centec. Maybe we need to re-look at that and see how it could work better given the current debt situation. There was a question with regards to increasing the MDDA funding base, and this is engaging print media, which, as you would know, due to their own pressure in the print market and their association, they have decreased funding in quite a drastic way, which has then really had an impact on the projects that we fund, because most of the funds that we get are ring-fenced. So the broadcasters give us funds, but they want those funds to go to broadcasters as opposed to other sectors of community media. We have tried to engage the broadcasters with regards to lifting the ring fence in order to cross-subsidize, so that our print projects do not suffer because of this. We think a very important thing, initiative, is when we review the MDDA Act, one, we should bring the print sector into the fold, so it becomes a legal imperative for them to pay certain portions of their profits to the MDDA, as you would see with the broadcasters. I might also add that we also think, in reviewing the Act, it's an opportunity that will also bring the telcos, because of data usage and new media, really, the fourth industrial revolution, the telcos should also be obliged legally to throw something into the coffers of the MDDA, as the broadcasters do, because convergence is, as you would know, quite real. This also would affect the advertising sector as well. I think at the time, in 2002, at the time the Act was envisaged, these other sectors were not really looked into, and that's why it's only the broadcasters that are legally bound to pay to the MDDA or to ICASA, whichever the way they prefer. Although if they do pay to ICASA, it goes straight back to the fiscus. Now, moving to slide 4, the Portfolio Committee paid a visit to the MDDA and dealt with a number of issues that were raised by staff in that visit. We just want to briefly respond to what has happened between that time and now. I think, firstly, with regards to staff morale, there's been a focus on organizational renewal through initiatives such as internal communication, enhanced staff benefits, and trying to enable staff to achieve a healthy work-life balance by fully capacitating the agency where there are vacancies. We, through a structured internal communications plan, have re-looked at our staff meetings, our weekly engagements, etc. But management staff can speak more to that. We have looked into incentives. There was a benchmark process, and we tried to really assist with the benefits. When it comes to vacancies, as the Deputy Minister indicated, the CEO issue, we are now left with the final round of interviews. We have had a series of interviews. We're left with the final round of interviews in that regard. We think if we can be able to move in the CEO issue, the other positions would be readily filled, such as director and strategy. We've shortlisted director and projects. We have employed a legal officer recently, starting in April. We've also done employed a digital media coordinator, and there are two other important positions in the risk space where AG indicated that we need to employ, where we've got temporary or contract assistance in order to deal with the audit period that is soon upon us. On slide 5, I indicated that a benchmark process was conducted. This has been over time, and medical and other benefits have then been enhanced. We need to, and we have been working on improving our monitoring and evaluation capacity, and we have a board member who is skilled in that, and we hope they can assist us going forward in this regard. We have, though, to assist staff, really up the ante with giving them study assistance, a scheme so that they can be able to further study and try and enhance their skills with regards to this. When we changed our costing to cost to company, there was a lot of upheaval in the staff. Some felt it was unfair, but we have got the right expertise, and this model is considered to be best practice by SARS, and therefore we have to stick to our guns, as it is a progressive model. However, those that were impacted, we've made the right contributions to medical aid in the Provident Fund accordingly. We are looking into our organogram again in order to strengthen the IT position where we think we need capacity. Staff raised the issue of decentralization of the MDDA because we cover the entire country and we're just based in Johannesburg. That is a valid concern. However, there are budget constraints, and as such, we need to travel to wherever the projects are, as opposed to opening satellite offices in the various provinces. We think that is, at this stage, impossible from a financial point of view, and we should be prudent then in that regard. I've spoken about the vacant positions in audit manager and the risk management specialist. We've got contract assistance there, temporary work, because we need to deal with this audit period that is upon us. We also have three audit committee members who are specialists in this regard, who are in the risk audit committee, and they will assist us greatly in this. If we move to the next slide, these are issues that were raised by the Auditor General. If you look at the slide, on the left side, we've got the audit findings, and on the right side, we've got our progress and our detailed progress. Most of the issues that were raised, we have completed. Looking at the findings and correcting what the AG said we should correct. If I zoom into information technology and governance, I zoom into it because that is still work in progress. A new tender for printer leasing facilities which expired, has expired, the contracts were terminated, we are working on that. We have updated our IT risk register. There were lots of assets that were not registered accordingly, and the AG picked this up and said we should look into it. We have dealt with that. Our IT manager has dealt with the monitoring of user access to information. There's been a spate of previously of information, including financial information, that leaks. And we've strengthened that side of IT in order, as the AG has said, in order for us to stem those leaks. If you look at the administrative issue, which was quite critical raised by the AG, the AG indicated that invoices were not corrected, were not recorded in the correct accounting period. This is an accounting fault. We've completed fixing that fault and adjusted it accordingly. The last is the work in progress in risk management and disclosures. Our internal control, there was a deficiency of risk management and assessment. This is now in progress. We're working on a draft risk management strategy and a risk assessment plan, which has already been approved by the Audit and Risk Committee and should go to board. This also applies to the Theft and Losses Committee policy. There's a raft of policies that need to go to board for approval, and this has been worked on. Once we have a correlating board, as indicated earlier, we think that those policies will then get approved, so we can close this gap as the AG has raised these issues. Those are the issues that were raised by the Portfolio Committee and the Auditor General. I'll leave it over to Cheryl, if there aren't any questions, to continue with the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Good morning, Honourable Deputy Minister and committee members. I'll go straight to slide number 8, the NDDA strategic 5-year priorities. They have remained the same. They were reviewed at a board strategic planning session during the year, but they continue to guide us in the formulation of our APP. On slide 9, I've just outlined the factors we took into account in developing our APP, and I'll just draw attention to the four factors on the left-hand side. As you are aware, we had a number of board members joining us in late 2017, so we had a board strategic planning session in January, and they gave us a considerable amount of input into our APP. We also looked at the impact study, and we updated our situational analysis. We also looked at the concerns raised by the portfolio committee, and we did a large amount of work on reviewing our key performance indicators in terms of the SMART principle. We found a lot of our KPIs, not only were they not smart and measurable, but they were very operational, and in some cases they were double reporting. If you achieved one, you automatically achieved the other. So we've streamlined our key performance indicators. We haven't changed the essence of what we are achieving, the strategic objectives. We've just reworded and streamlined the KPIs. So if you turn to slide 10, this just gives an indication of our revised NDDA strategy map. We have along the second line our three strategic outcome-oriented goals. The red is obviously our core program, the media transformation promoted through the growth of community-based media. But what I wanted to draw attention to was the first goal, which is capable and accomplished organization, which speaks to our program one, which is our administration program. And that we have revised both in our strategy plan and in our APP. We have reduced this program down to KPIs that are on a much more strategic level and not so operational. So in the past we had four sub-programs, now we just have one. Then if you go to page to slide 11, you have a little presentation on the impact study findings. So I won't go through the entire slide, but I'd just like to draw attention to three of the issues that really do impact on our APP in particular. Now, issue two, which is training and capacity building of sectors, it's a critical need. And unfortunately, funds that we can direct towards these activities are ring-fenced by the NDDA Act. So therefore, in our review of the NDDA Act, we really need to look at removing this ring-fencing. The second one was the sustainability of media projects. So we will be looking at a lot of our systems and processes, such as our funding model, our grant dispersal, and even our call for applications. As you know, we have a huge backlog, and we cannot fund the amount of applications we get. We also have certain areas that are over-resourced in terms of community media projects and other areas that are not. So we need to look at our call for applications to make it smarter in terms of addressing those areas that still require community media. And then we also need to look at our monitoring and evaluation systems, our pre-assessment, etc. And we need to take a higher profile in resolving the impasse on advertising for projects. And then just the last one I wanted to draw attention to is the technological changes, wreaking havoc in the industry. And we obviously need to, going forward, put more impact on digital for our community and assist our community media projects in this respect. And then lastly, it's basically just drawing attention to the instability of our leadership, which the Deputy Minister has already referred to. So if you turn to page 12, this is just our current organogram. Our vacancies remain an issue. We have a vacancy rate of 30%, which is an improvement over the past 2 years, but unfortunately, the positions at senior levels, a lot of them still remain vacant, and these really require urgent attention to fill them. And then turning to the actual nuts and bolts of the APP, on page 13 is the first of our core programs, which is grant and seed funding. That's basically why the NDDA Act, NDDA exists. And as you'll note, we have, if you compare to our past APP, we have reduced our number of KPIs down to address exactly what we're supposed to be doing, which is funding our media projects. So we have two sub-programs, community broadcast media, which covers both TV and radio, and we have print and digital media as our second program. Page 14 refers to the third sub-program in grant two, in program two, which is monitoring and evaluation, which is a very critical area. If you look at, I'd like to draw attention to the second performance indicator, which is the evaluation reports produced. We have reduced the number that we want to achieve, as we need to do a major review of our monitoring and evaluation tool to strengthen our evaluation and make it a much more meaningful, in-depth assessment of projects and their impact on the community. So we felt we needed to do fewer, but do them more in-depth. If you go to page 15, that's partnerships, public awareness, and advocacy. We have two programs here. One speaks to our lobbying and advocacy role and our stakeholder engagement policy and plan, and also to the development of a digital migration strategy, which we need to place increasing focus on as we go forward. Our second program is basically our communications, and we've reduced this one down to one KPI, which is the communication strategy and plan. Our previous APP had operational KPIs, such as number of newsletters produced, which actually should be included as part of the plan. On page 16 is program 4 and 5. These two are also critical, but as I said, they're ring-fenced by, the funding's ring-fenced by the Act. So you'll see we haven't increased our targets going forward, because at the moment we are already short of funds to cover what we should be covering. So it's the first one is a number of training interventions and media literacy workshop. Media literacy also remains an important objective of us to continue with this initiative. And then program five is innovation, research and development. Once again, this is an extremely important area that maybe hasn't had the focus in the past. And we need to, we've separated this out into research projects that we actively go out and commission, that we know, especially from the impact study, we have identified areas that we need to research. And then we do get proposals from research agencies, so we've also allowed for research projects that that people have approached us and we feel important to continue with. And then finally on page, on slide 17 is program one, governance and administration, and you will note that we've collapsed the four areas that were addressed as four separate sub-programs down into a number of KPIs, addressing human resources, risk, internal audit, and finance, and IT. And I would like to, after that whirlwind tour, I'd like to hand over to my colleague just to address the finance.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair, and honourable members. I'll go to slide on page number 18 on our revenue analysis. If you look at our revenue analysis, our funding model has not changed much. So mainly our income is coming from DOC and our broadcasting funders. So we don't expect a major increase in terms of our funding. It will be more in line with what we received in 2017-2018 financial year. If I turn to page 19, where our expenditure analysis is, in terms of our grant funding or our grant expenditure, it will be more like in the same region as 2017-2018. And the major increase you notice, it will be on the compensation of employees. This is mainly because there has been a drive to fill all the vacancies that were outstanding in the prior financial year. So that's why there is such a major jump. And when it comes to goods and services, you will notice that there might be a decrease or there is a budgeted decrease in expenditure. This is mainly due to cost saving initiatives that the agent is trying to put in place in trying to manage our costs. Depreciation will also slightly increase because of the leasehold improvements that will factor in the current financial year. That's why those major changes, basically you will notice them. So in terms of our expenditure, it will be more like an increase of about 8.6% from the prior financial period. Thank you. I think that's all.
Thank you, Chair. That will be our presentation. I also note, as when you started, Chair, you indicated that the portfolio committee is coming to the MDDA shortly, and in that context, we think a lot of issues will be dealt with at that point, and we really welcome the visit. We hope it will be soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I was appointed through a parliamentary process, so I take my role as a board member accountable to this committee very seriously. the board's been in court since February, so that means the last 2 months we haven't been able to meet and formulate an approach since we spent a very fruitful January preparing this document in good faith. So what we presented to date was in good faith with the Corrid board, with the shareholder representative and others involved, and it was a beautiful session. But 3 months later, we found ourselves with an organization that's in a critical status. You know, the figures that are presented there, that 30% vacancies is fine, but I think the portfolio committee is aware that of those vacancies, 7 out of 9 senior management vacancies exist, and that is including an accounting officer. and including a chief financial officer. So it's not business as usual. And I agree that with the acting chair that we welcome the committee visit to the NDDA as soon as possible. We have not been idle. Some of the work that's happened in the last month and a half at subcommittee level, because in January we also restructured the board, has uncovered a lot of inconsistencies, a lot of issues that we want to table. But we want to give the new minister, the new DM, and the portfolio committee a chance to explore these issues with us. But my point here is just to convey that the majority of the board, the remaining board members, if not all, are deeply concerned with the state of the organization, and even in presenting the APP as it is a risk, because given our expected performance for the last financial year, reaching possibly not even 50% performance, I mean, we're not in a good place, so, and I just feel it's important to put that on record.
Thank you very much. Member?
Thank you, Chair. I think I would have the same sentiments as my colleague. I think for us, the pressing issue, though, is to have an executive leadership at the MDDA. We had Mr. Baloyi, who led the organization quite effectively during his secondment, but he has subsequently left, and now we find ourselves without a CEO, and recently the chief financial officer also left the organization. So there's a vacuum there as well. So it's quite concerning that during an audit, going forward into an audit, we don't have these positions which are filled. As a new board member who joined the entity last year, I think I'm still trying to understand the landscape internally, what is the situation. But I do think that the key areas that we need to focus on as the board going forward are very critical, specifically the areas around project funding. We need to have a clear and coherent understanding of a model. How do we actually allocate funding? It still remains a bit unclear. There is no clear, coherent framework as to how do we actually allocate those fundings. And then the other issue, which is very, very critical, is the monitoring and evaluation capacity within the organization. While that is being done, from where I'm sitting, it's very superficial. It doesn't really inform anything. And so I do feel that we need to have a clear monitoring and evaluation framework, which, in my view, is not in place. Because that framework, if it's in place, it will inform exactly what do we monitor, why do we monitor, how do we monitor, what do we evaluate, how do we evaluate. Right now, the M&E that is being done is really very superficial. So for me, that is a big, big concern. And the other issue that I think an effective board should focus on is to make sure that there is a clear research agenda that the MDDA drives. There has to be some thought leadership that the MDDA drives around media development around the media landscape. The MDDA should be a go-to person or a go-to entity if anybody wants to know what is the status of community media, what are the trends, what is the heartbeat of community media. The MDDA should be the one to speak up. Right now, I don't think the MDDA can speak up because there is no research, there is no R&D, there is no innovation around information which tells us what is happening in the landscape. And so we need to have that research, but that research obviously needs to be funded. And so we need to look at the funding model of the MDDA to do all these things. And so as a board member who's at the MDDA, I find myself then facing all these challenges. And I also find myself with my hands tied in the sense that I actually want to be effective as a board member to go forward. But you find that, okay, now we are not correct. We don't have enough board members, and therefore, can we actually be effective? Are our decisions valid? Can we act? We don't know. And we also want the department itself to actually engage us and lead us and inform us and guide us. We've written numerous letters. I'm not sure if there's been responses where we say, this is the situation we are in, guide us. And so I would like to implore this committee to actually make sure that we are actually empowered as a board at the MDDA. We were appointed to actually lead and provide oversight, and therefore we must be empowered. So if you are disempowered, it's actually very unfortunate. And so we would like to, implore the committee that they should expedite the appointment of additional board members as a matter of urgency. As the board, we are in the process of appointing a CEO, but in the interim, we do want to have an acting CEO, if it's possible, because an organization which does not have executive leadership at that level, including a CFO, is open to risk. And so we look forward to the visit by the committee next time or next whenever they are coming. We hope that it can be fruitful and it can move the MDDA forward.
Thank you very much, dear, and board members and the executive. Questions. Thanks very much for your input on what is lacking there and what needs to be done. I think it begins to say a lot. If there is no acting CEO, surely we have a problem. Van Dijk?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I want to start with slide 4. And I want to say that I appreciate the effort you make with regards to the uplifting the staff morale. And if it makes you feel better, there's actually an improvement in the vacancies, because 2014 there was 14 vacancies and there's now only 12, even though it still accumulates to 30%, which is not acceptable, but we know the circumstances. I just want to go to slide 19. I want you to. I just want to make sure that I have it correct. Yes, slide 19. I just want to know, or just want to make sure, clarity, 70% of the staff component received 51% of the grant, and then in total the administration takes 50%. The reason I'm asking this, the output for this is only 33% of your targets, and my concern is that how much is there's no budget estimate breakdowns per program with this document that you gave us. So I cannot actually see how much really goes to operational, how much is spent on operations. And if there's an increase in the vacancy, if we fill these vacant positions, what will the impact be on the budget as it is? Why are you now using already 50% on administration? I'm just curious to know, and with relating to the operational cost. And then I want to mention that according to the AG, there's a request for more budget, but there's almost seven million irregular expenditure. So that's a huge concern. It raised with 1.4 million. Then I also want to. I heard that you say there's no acting CEO. What happened to the previous person? And then slide five. Okay, maybe I must just also on the vacancies. Slide 12. It is not stipulated what vacancies, what positions are vacant, so it makes it a bit difficult to, in the past I would have made them red or a different color so that you can know what positions are not full. Okay, then page 5, or slide 5, the study assistance to the employees, I just want to check, is that only happening to, is it only towards the employees that does the monitoring and evaluation? And are these studies, are they work-related, so it's going to benefit the MDDA eventually? Then I want to go to the absence of provincial offices. ICASA yesterday mentioned that they've got 3 or 4 regional offices. Have you communicating with them to maybe make use of that offices? Because we cannot each entity function on their own. We should work or collaborate with each other. Then on the last point, the board appointed 3 independent audit members. I want to know if these members, are they now temporarily, are they not on the organogram, and if they are now consultants, what are they actually? I also see that the cost on consultants were almost 5 million plus between that and human resources. So I want to know if that's now going to be part of the consultants, or is it a different expenditure. Then slide 13. I agree with the board members that the funding model, the criteria is very vague. That really does create a problem. And I also want to know, with regards to that, do you require from your media projects to demonstrate how they will be able to come self-sufficient when the funding from MDDA stops? That's the one thing. Then I want to refer you to the totals that you've given, the 22, the 8, the 4. Are these new projects? Is it possible that you can provide us with a list of these projects? I just want to see, is it old projects? Is it projects that you're strengthening, or is it new projects? And also, how regularly do you follow up on these projects, specifically the ones that you're strengthening? Okay, then I want to go to 11. With regards to the digital strategy, I just want to know if you are you working with DOC, because they're rolling out the digital program, and it would, if you don't have the budget, then you can tap in on their resources. Also with GCIS, who are the communications platform of government, and I think with regards to that, we can also use our community media with more effort. With it, yeah. So that's one question that I want to ask there. And then also I want to ask you, the equipment that you sponsor to the community media, is that only broadcasting tourism, what do you call it, equipment, or also transmission? Because the reason why I'm asking this is, I went and I did a small study on the transmission part, and also the money that's paid for rental to Centec. And I found that the transmission cost for them to own their own equipment is far, far, far less than renting from, specifically when they have a small area that they have to cover the frequency. And that by implication means that when they can buy the equipment at a very less money, and then they can take out a 5-year license from ICASA, from EN, what, I've written it down. Where have I written that? ENCA, and that means that they've got for 5 years, they've got a license, and they don't owe any money to Centec, and the equipment can last for 20 years. So is that something that you've looked into? Because, and then also when these projects cease to exist, what happens to the equipment that you sponsor to these? Because it's expensive. Do you then go collect it again? Because there must be an agreement with the radio stations that when they don't, incapable of continuing, that somewhere that equipment can be used for another application. I was just thinking about Carpsipin that was closed by Centec over the a week or three ago. And they sit with all the equipment that was sponsored a year or two ago, so you did your effort to help them, but the problem now is without the correlation between ICASA, Centec and MDDA, we sit with a community radio station that's now... So that's be my contribution towards questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Fandek. Honourable Kaba.
Yeah. Thanks, I think I wish to welcome the presentation, given the fact that what we are understanding, we don't have an executive decision making in the institution. This could be what appears to be what we receive. I think it's a fact which we note must be attended to urgently, and thanks to the Djibouti minister upon the intervention that is being done. So I think MDDA is up for change, and we wish to confirm our support in having that done well. Mine will be just three comments, actually. I don't know with regard to number three, the CEDA MOU, my view is that this is very late. Can't you have a plan to have it earlier? It's like we are dreaming here. Ne? Okay. On number three, call for applications, MNE framework 2018-19. And then on the last slide, develop aggressive funding strategy 2018-19. On the last slide again, review on number three, review MDDA Act address funding allocations 2018-19. Really high. Funding postponed. Hey, such a report when we want change, it's not nice. Then lastly, which perhaps it could have been on printing or something, I note number 12, the vacancy. Perhaps those that are vacant, they are not listed here. So it's like a general structure. I wish it could be guiding us.
to know where we don't have. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, GM, and the staff from MDGA. Chair, I'll keep and treasure my questions for the next meeting. Oh. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, GM, and the staff. I will keep and treasure my question for the meeting we will take, it will take place in the oversight. I have information I want to give to the GM, because I'm not sure you are aware about the program that took place at Guguletu by the MDDA. Now, I will explain further about that because I can't prolong the meeting right now. Secondly, the question I have is not much more than I want to know about this post in page 12. Is those posts advertised already? That's my question. And in page 13, there's the issue of number of community radio stations approved by the board for funding. Which is those communities? You have to outline, because we need the breakdown to know all these supports by the entity. Let me stop the chair by saying, as I said, I will keep my question. GM, you know, MDDA was the most entity was victimized for 2017. But I'll give you that information. Because that information, I don't know, I know is not affecting you as the new deputy minister. But I have a problem. My height is very small.
Google it to
Yes, because you know this is, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much, dear. That's why I my last words, by saying this is the most entity was victimized by the individual terrorists. I'm very sorry to put it that way. Because this is a government a service. By stopping the government service, that means you are killing the work of the government.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
I know this is very close to her heart, which all of us must be when we're deployed as public representatives. DM, when you don't have leadership in the organization, then it's a crisis. Maybe in addressing us, you tell us when are you deploying the acting CEO. The appointment is when? It's reflected here, the appointment of the CEO. Is it? Yes. Let address us on those issues, but also the executive. I mean, the elaborate on the members of the board, especially from your side, the shareholder, their representative, and then the committee will do. What it needs to do will take a decision on areas where we need to take a decision. But I think let's fix all what is wrong. From your side as the ministry, but on our side as the committee, we'll do the necessary things, especially after the meeting with MDDA in Johannesburg. So we'll have to take decisions. over to you. While we are supposed to surely address the issues of the APP and the issues of problems in MDD, when you go there, are a bit, they are connected but separate, but on the issues of APP, we must deal with those. Over to you. Acting Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will go through a series of these questions, and my colleagues will assist me in this regard. I'll deal with the strategic questions mostly. Not in the order that they were asked, but I'll deal with them. We had an acting CEO that was seconded by the department to us for a certain period. The term ended at the beginning of this month, so they went back to the department. We had written to the department as early as January, you know, about in anticipation of this happening. But we are assured by the department that, as the Deputy Minister indicated, that they are working on that. This also includes the shareholder representative in the board. In the Deputy Minister's opening remarks, they indicated that there's a question mark with regards to the quorum. And as such, decisions, then resolutions cannot be taken. We'll note that, as my fellow board members indicated, the various committees, board subcommittees, continue to work because all of that needs to go to a board eventually and resolutions taken there. And at that time, we hope the board then will correct. So we haven't shut down, we haven't stopped working because our fiduciary duties are such that we need to work. Linking that to the next question, that has to do with the three members of the Audit and Risk Committee. As you know, Audit and Risk is for accountability purposes, is a separate function. So the positions that were advertised, if I say positions, these are not employees. This is for the Audit and Risk Committee. So there's an independent chair and two independent members in the Audit and Risk Committee for oversight purposes. And that assists us a lot, especially when it comes to the Auditor General issues, because those are subject matter experts when it comes to Audit and Risk. They are not employees, they are committee members of independent ARC, as it were. The CEO issue, there was a decision that was, we had gone through a series of interviews. This is at the time that we did have a shareholder representative. And when we didn't have a shareholder representative, we had to stop with our final round of interviews because we don't want to take decisions which could later then be up for scrutiny and legally challenged because they were taken by a non-correct board. But the work, the interview work has been done. We have at the very least a short list of 4 or 5 where we now need a shareholder representative in order to be able to hold the last round of interviews and appoint accordingly. So that is where that is. In the interim, I would imagine the department would try and assist us then with an acting CEO. The board would appoint an acting CEO if the board corrects or if there's no question mark within the staff. But if we appoint an acting CEO and that is legally challenged because the decision is of a board that is non-correct, the risks are quite apparent. So that is why there is this impasse, and that is why we need the type of assistance that we have asked for. I take the question, the suggestion with ICASA and its site offices. We have not looked into that. I think that is a very progressive suggestion. We'll have to look at our needs and see from a budget point of view how does it work, how can we work with our sister entity, with the authority, ICASA. So I think that is a very progressive suggestion. When it comes to the study, we were quite specific, and this is from the previous board which curated, where we were quite specific with regards to that staff should be incentivized, or we should try and incentivize for staff morale and for the organization, importantly, they should study. But on fields that are, you can't study, my passion, classical music, for instance, as a standalone, and you don't, it doesn't assist the organization. That's why monitoring and evaluation and specifically studying there, as indicated by a fellow board member, that there's a gap there. So we need to encourage staff and try and incentivize them to improve, their capacity. I think that is quite important. So it is across the board. It is not just that division, but it is sector specific. It is specific in enhancing the skills of those that are in the MDDA. There's been a question with regards to the list of projects, the funding that I hear. We could, through the secretary of the committee, we could share such information. Usually that information is in our annual reporting, et cetera, but we've got all the information and that information, to the extent that it doesn't have any legal risk, we could share that information. I think, and when the portfolio committee comes to the MDDA, they can, pour over all of that information to see, what it is that we fund, who do we fund, where the breakdown in the various provinces. We've got that information readily available. Another suggestion has to do with digital and has to do with GCIS and working with the department. We take that suggestion. The digital component is a new component in the MDDA quite belatedly, and I think we're working out a strategy, then a digital-first strategy. And working with sister departments and those with the capability would assist us naturally in this regard. There's a question mark with regards to the equipment that we have funded. It can be a complex issue because there are also accounting questions with regards to that, because we cannot, once equipment is bought and given to a particular entity, if we are not there on a daily basis to ensure that this equipment is there, this equipment is operated in a particular way, it becomes very difficult to put it onto our books from an accounting point of view. We'll fall foul of quite a number of accounting principles. That is why we try to monitor and evaluate. But my esteemed board member indicated that is a gap that we need to. Of course, the MDDA staff, there's a finite amount of staff. There's projects all over in all provinces. We try to reach as many annually as we can. As board members as well, I've embarked on trying to go and meet certain projects to try and understand what is going on the ground. But that is something that needs to be strengthened, and we take that point, and I think it is a point that we need to look at. The funding criteria, we do have a funding criteria. It might not be palatable to certain people, or they think there's a better model, and the MDDA is open to changing that funding criteria. I must just indicate that there's a structural issue in the entire sector. If you look at funding, if we zoom in on the Centec issue, for instance, all the projects that are funded by the MDDA, most of them, when they put their Centec costs as part of their application, the MDDA has paid those costs to the projects in order for them to pay Centec. But maybe a more progressive stance would be for the MDDA and Centec to work in order to aggregate costs, to work closely together in order for those for that loophole to be fixed. I think that is something that we need to consider going forward. This includes the sustainability of the projects themselves through advertising. If 30% of government ad spend were used in community media, we think that would really help. Linked to this point is the transmission costs that are independently done. There are some of the projects, some projects that we have funded that have independently looked for their own transmission. The model in the long term is cheaper, but ab initio from the beginning, it needs a lot of capital in order to embed, in order to build capacity at the beginning, and that's where funds are short. But in the long term, I think it can be cheaper. There are though those projects that are especially in rural areas that need Sentech specialized expertise, and have indicated to us that they appreciate Sentech's responsiveness whenever the systems are down, etc., because Sentech covers the entire country. So there are certain projects that are, in a sense, married to Sentech, and there's no way they can, one, afford, or the expertise do not exist in order to assist them. So the Sentech issue then obviously is something that needs to be looked at. But there are certain projects, flagship projects, that have, you know, dealt with their own transmission costs, but they have got private funding because it needed deep pockets in the beginning. I don't know if the other questions, which I haven't covered, the rest of the management team and maybe board
okay.
members will come.
All right, sure. Anyone to respond to anything? Yes, and then let's start with the board members first.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Now, just to add, I mean, I think we set up a project subcommittee called the Project Oversight Subcommittee of the Board, and this is precisely to look at the whole funding cycle, funding model, criteria, how do you translate the strategic objectives of the APP, the five-year vision and beyond, using the kind of empirical data that Dr. Mbava is referring to really zone in on what's informing funding decisions and which projects are achieving what's intended with the money and isn't. I mean, one of the matters we will definitely be drilling into as a board and having to, once we're caught, take a firm position on is projects that receive funding and that don't deliver. You know, because that's wasteful. And, you know, do we use a spray and pray approach, or do we actually hone in on areas that require the most resourcing? We've picked up, for example, that women ownership and women leadership in the community media sector is a problem. So how much does that influence funding decisions around, you know, if you present it with different funding projects, how do you prioritize it? And you know, the thing is that the MBDA is not a unique entity in this field. I mean, if you look in the arts and culture space, the National Film and Video Foundation plays a very similar role. And they've experienced very similar challenges in the past. And they've managed to turn the ship around, and that's through tightening the systems from the top down, at the level of the board, at the level of involving industry expertise in the processing of applications, in the way the sector is communicated to. You know, at the moment, if I'm a community media organization, I don't know when is a good time to apply. I don't know where I am in the queue. I'm not sure how to do it. You know, and even just the basics of some of the application forms they're old school, you know, just to put it frankly. So that entire process needs a review, and the executive, I mean, the DM, the minister, needs to help us build the bridges, because I think it's not useful, say, to compare an apple to a pear, to compare the MBDA to FPB, because they're two very different organizations. It's much more useful to look at the MBDA as core mandate as funding and capacity building in the community media sector, and research to inform that and to evaluate that in relation to organizations that have a similar mandate in this country. And I'd say the NFES is an example of that. And we need to look at benchmarking against excellence in the sector broadly. Yeah.
Thank you. I'd like to respond to the irregular expenditure. Yes, there was 7 million irregular expenditure in the last financial year, but that has been corrected. It was mainly due to the CSD, because we were not getting BE certificates, but now we are requesting the BE certificates from the suppliers. So that has actually been corrected, and now we are complying with the treasury regulations. So for the current financial year, there wouldn't be much. I think it has reduced drastically the irregular expenditure.
Is that all from you, Deputy Chair?
Yes, it is, Chair. Thank you.
Deputy Minister, so that we pack our bags.
Yeah. Chairperson, thank you very much. Maybe let me start this way. The responsibility of MDDA and FPB falls squarely on my shoulders as delegated responsibility. But the delegation goes up to support and recommendation, playing oversight and all those things. Final decision is with the minister. I can always recommend on certain things. Now, the issue of governance, quorum at board level, was brought to our attention even when we came to present the second quarter report. It was also top on the agenda. And we then said, given the resignations that were there, and the fact that the departmental rep's term has also expired, which is Victor's name, then the commitment I gave to the board was to say, I will recommend to the minister, because there are certain decisions that have to be taken, and the MDDA program must still continue, that we recommend Tasmin to still continue for purposes of institutional memory and all those things. We follow the same process that we are required to do, to myself recommend minister, then it goes to the president that way. It has passed on me. It is on that pipeline. That's the Tasmin part. So it means we're taking that process very serious of making sure that at least there's quorum and something must happen. We were also aware that the term of office or the secondment term is it's expiring. And we can only second either from DOC or GCIS or whatever personnel that is there in our entity. Even in that regard, it has passed my table. So it is in the pipeline. So I'm just saying, those responsibilities we are dealing with, and until the final decision is made, it is then that of course, all of us are concerned that the institution must run, decisions must be taken, even now. That's why tomorrow we'll be meeting with MDDA and CENTEC and making sure. In fact, we were supposed to go and visit MDDA at some point, but because the minister was central to the issue of the funeral of Mama Winnie and all those things, so we couldn't. We had to postpone some of the programs because minister also has to meet with them and just get to know the institution and all those things. Yeah. So I thought maybe let me start that way so that all of you are aware that our pulse is there, and until certain things are finalized, that's when some of those things will happen. Of course, Chair, in the same vein, would want to see administration also stabilizing, appointment of CEOs and CFOs and all those things. It is in our best interest to see that. So our commitment in making sure that MGDA, as one of our entities, also thrives like all others, it shouldn't be questionable. We have to make sure that that happens, especially because even the sector that they are servicing, it's a very marginalized sector. We need to make sure, I mean, right now, we were supposed to be saying, MGDA, where are we in preparing for digitization of community TV and radios and all those things, you know, community radios and all this. So it is our responsibility to make sure that they too are on board. So, and I think there's also a suggestion which also the chair took cognizance of shared services with other entities. If there's a provincial office of FPB or ICASA or whatever, they can still share and pay better rental, or GCIS offices, they can still do some of those things. It's a good suggestion that comes from the member. The Gugulethu issue, Chair, I deliberately left it and I thought we'll deal with it separately. And I take what the member is also saying. So, Chair, I think some of the things of benchmarking, of making sure that projects receive funding accordingly and so on, it will be work in progress. So we'll make sure that that happens. But the last comment I want to make is that probably by tomorrow close of business, probably, so that I don't lie under oath in Parliament, we shall have found each other, ourselves and MGDA and Centec, in resolving the issue of community radio stations on short term. And then we'll then develop medium and long-term approach in dealing with some of those challenges. So I'm not saying it will be finalized, but I'm anticipating that that will be done. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, DM, the board of NDA, and the executive. I'm happy that all these things that are a headache are on the pipeline, but the pipe must not be too long. I'm not sure about the line, but the pipe must not be too long. Really? Yes.
Question. Chair, I just want to ask the Deputy Minister if that means that those radio stations that have been switched off, will they then be put on back onto air or what?
The Deputy Minister was saying the issues are going to be discussed tomorrow. And she said she doesn't want to lie and say everything will be done tomorrow. There is an engagement between the department, Centec, and MDDA. So in trying to find a solution. I know that this community radios have been calling all of us, including myself. NCRF, as the organization, has been on me, but I can't do anything. All what I can do is to talk to the department and Centec and MDDA. As for the department and Centec, I've done that. Then there is a meeting that is happening tomorrow. So let's leave it there so that the department and everybody else finalize things tomorrow and then talk to us after tomorrow. Remember this thing, in relation to SANDEC, it talks money, because SANDEC must operate. If they are not paid, they can't operate. The community radios are very important to all of us, because they are at, you know, everywhere where people can access television and everything else. But they have that small radio in their language. They can listen to what is said. That's how it is important it is to have community radios running and on air. So all of us are very much aware that it's a disorganization and it must be attended to. Thank you very much, all of you. Meeting is adjourned. Finger lunch. I had the smell. There is finger lunch somewhere. Although I don't like finger lunch, but it's outside. Or it's just at the back. Members, can you ensure that you have